I'd like to begin today by reading another passage, this one from the Old Testament, to Psalm 126, verse 5. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Now, a friend of mine by the name of Paul Sussman asked me on Friday, he said, Kevin, do you know what that verse means? Because it was explained to him that week. He had a bit of an understanding. He was excited about it. Now, Paul grew up about 10 minutes from Dulles Airport. Not exactly a real agricultural kind of community. So Paul doesn't always get these the analogies that the Bible uses when they refer to agricultural events, such as planting and tears and harvesting and joy. But Paul said that this was explained to him. He said, you know what? Whenever somebody plants seed, what they are doing is they are burying a portion of their harvest from the previous year. They are taking something that could have been used for food or sold for money and sticking it in the ground and trusting that God will multiply that their future will be fruitful. I said, you know what, Paul, I did grow up on a farm and I never put that together. That makes a lot of sense. And I started thinking about it. You know what, right now is about the time when people are planting their winter wheat for next year across the Midwest. We have some Midwesterners over here. They know what I'm talking about. You take a portion of the harvest that you got the previous year, and what do you do with it? You don't ground it up into flour and feed your family. Or you don't sell it and make a little bit of money on it. You stick it in the ground and hope that God will multiply that. You could be using that money that you stole that wheat for to buy personal things, to live an exciting life, a life of many things. But instead, you are planning for your future. So I was thankful for my friend Paul bringing that to my attention this week because I was struggling with this passage. The passage of the shrewd manager. And today we're going to be looking at this passage of the shrewd manager. And we're going to be seeing how Jesus teaches us to plan for our future. But there's a contention here, this tension between planning for our future and storing up for ourselves treasures on earth. So please walk with me this morning as we discuss how this might actually look for us as Christians today to both plan for our future without storing up for ourselves treasures on heaven, in heaven, or treasures on earth. Because as we look through the Bible, we see that very often that Jesus is very concerned about our spiritual lives. That's pretty obvious to anybody who reads the Bible. But if you also look, Jesus is very worried about our daily lives as well, our lives here on earth. Jesus goes around Palestine, around Israel, healing people, preaching about the poor and how we should take care of them, looking after the widows and the orphans. Jesus is very concerned about our spiritual life, but he's also worried about our lives here on earth as well. So we will begin today by looking at the parable of the shrewd manager and seeing how Jesus tells us that we should be planning for our future. And before we jump into this parable, I think it's important to define the word shrewd a little bit. Shrewd sounds bad, doesn't it? It's got this negative connotation to it. It sounds almost deceitful. But really, the word shrewd means wise, intelligent. So whenever this manager is called a shrewd manager, he's actually being given a compliment. However, later on, this manager is given the exact opposite of a compliment. His supervisor, the owner of the land, comes to him and says, you know what? I hear that you're doing a pretty poor job as a manager of my land. You better account for all your dealings. Show me your books, because your time here is limited. You're not going to be my employee much longer if this is true. Well, this manager knows very well that he's going to lose a job here soon. He knows that he's still going to be out on the street looking for something else to do. But this is where his shrewdness comes in. He shows just how shrewd he is because he realizes his limitations. He realizes that he is too weak to work a physical job. He says that he cannot dig ditches in the NRSV. He knows that he is not able to self-perform these physical tasks to support himself financially. But he also knows that he is limited by his pride. His pride will not allow him to beg for money. He will not be able to make money that way. He cannot take care of his future by begging. But he is also wise because he comes up with a third option. He comes up with a third option that says, you know what, if I take care of somebody else now, while I have this money, this will be returned to me in the future. This will be reciprocated upon me. And you see, in the first century of in Israel, they had this system known as the system of reciprocity. You got it? Okay. If I do something for you, you do something for me. It's like I give to you with the intention of receiving something back in the future. And this spirit, this culture of reciprocity is still alive today in Israel. Now some of you may know the name Dorothy Jean Weaver. Dorothy Jean lives in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And every other year she leads a tour group to Israel and Palestine. Now if you know Dorothy Jean, you know that she is extremely detail-oriented. On the Myers-Briggs test, she would be an extreme J. She has to have every minute of every day planned out. And I'm sure it's true. I've never been on one of her tours, but I would assure you that every minute of every day on her tours are planned out to the exact minute. And every one of her tours to Israel, every other year when she goes, they always visit a certain souvenir stand, a certain shop. So why does she make it a priority to go to this shop every other year when she's there? Why does she go out of her way to go visit this one man's store? Well, you see, one of the earlier times when Dorothy Jean visited Israel, this shopkeeper gave her something. Now, I don't know what it was that she gave, what he gave to her, but it was something of a lot of value, something of a lot of worth. And Dorothy Jean was humbled that this man was trying to give her such an extravagant gift. And she wanted to pay him for it. She really did. But he wouldn't accept any money from her. He wouldn't take her money. What was it that he really wanted? That he wasn't just doing it out of the goodness of his heart. He wanted her to bring tour groups back there to his shop every time that she brought a group to Israel. This is the spirit of reciprocity, the culture in which they were living in. This is the culture in which Jesus was living in as well. So when he told this story about this man who was willing to give something in order to receive something in the future, what he was talking about is the way this man was planning for his own future by giving something today. So this man is called wise and shrewd because he is planning for his future. He is securing his future by giving something to these debtors. Now we read that he brings in the first debtor. And this first debtor owed 100 jugs of olive oil. And the manager says, make it 50. And then we read that in comes the next debtor, who owes 100 containers of wheat. And he says, well, make that 80. Now in my mind, I say, well, something's not fair here. Why is it that the one gets reduced by 50% and the other gets reduced by 20%? Something just isn't lining up here. What's not making sense? Well, what we have to think about is that 50 jugs of oil and 20 containers of wheat had approximately the same value. Now, if we were to look at the wheat as 20 bushels of wheat today, that'd be approximately $150. So it's like he thinks that both of these people take $150 off the top. Except for in those days, it was worth a lot more than $150. So it's on each one of them to take this set amount, this large chunk off the top of what they owed. And then the master comes to this manager, and he commends him for his shrewdness. The master commends him, compliments him, says, you are a wise manager. Now, something, again, just isn't making sense. Is the master commending the servant, the manager, because he squandered away his land earlier on? Well, of course not. That's not what Jesus is trying to mention here. He's being commended because he is a wise manager in his dealings for his own future, for planning for his future. But then we also come to the next question. Is the manager saying that you are wise because you spent my money and gave away something that was mine to prepare for your own future? Well, he'd have to be a pretty generous landowner, wouldn't he? Be willing to give up those things so that this guy that had been cheating him would have a comfortable future. Something just isn't making sense. So you have to dig a little deeper. You have to search a little deeper in the scripture to understand why Jesus would tell this story to his disciples. And one understanding is that what the man is taking off the top of each one of these bills is his commission. His commission. It is what the manager would have earned himself from these debts that were owed to his landowner. So that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? All at once we see this manager who had something coming to him. He had a bit of money coming his way as well, saying, you know what, forget about that. Don't worry about paying me that amount. Just pay whatever you owe the landowner. Forget about my commission. And then just take care of me in the future. And that, I believe, is what the landowner is commending him for doing. For planning for his future. For taking off. For not living in the present, but thinking about his future and what's to come. It doesn't make sense for the manager, for the landowner, to commend him for stealing from him. That sounds more like something Robin Hood would do. Stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. It doesn't sound like something Jesus would commend. Something that Jesus would teach to his disciples. But the manager is commended for giving up something immediate. Giving up immediate wealth and planning for his financial future. So what does that matter for us here today? Well, I think it's wise for us to plan for our future. It's good stewardship to set aside a little something in case of emergency. And it's good stewardship to plan for our retirement as well. Now, if we look around our society today, people are spending like there's no tomorrow. If we look at the average credit card debt per household, it's somewhere between $8,500 and $9,500. Now, we hear these slogans, you know, it's everywhere you want to be. You see these commercials on television advertising credit cards, and they're showing people, beautiful people in beautiful places. They travel around the world, and they buy all these things, even though they don't have the money for them. You just put them on your credit card, spend $20 a month, pay it off in 20 years. They don't tell you that part. But if you really want to talk about debt, we can also look at our nation's national debt. Our national debt recently topped $9 trillion. Anybody have any ideas how many zeros that is? $9 trillion. With the population of the United States today being over 303 million people, if you divide that equally between each one of us, we each owe just under $30,000. Does anybody here have $30,000 in your pocket right now? I sure don't, but you know what I do have? I have a credit card. We can put it on my credit card. I'll pay $20 for the rest of my life on that. Now, I'm not here to tell people that we should not go into debt, because sometimes it is necessary. And I'm not saying that all credit card debt is bad, because I understand that if things come up, emergencies arise. We need to, at times, spend more than what we have. But what I will criticize is the people that go out and buy lavish, you know, stereo equipment or home theater systems that they cannot afford and just put them on their credit card bill and pay the very minimum balance every month. I think that is extremely poor stewardship to go out and spend money that you don't have on something you don't need and then spend twice as much money as what it originally cost to pay it off over a period of time. Because that's exactly what you do. You pay for it twice if all you pay is the bare minimum each time. I think it is really bad stewardship to go about paying something twice. Now, the shrewd manager was praised for planning for his future. He did the complete opposite of what so many people are doing today. Rather than living for today as if nothing else mattered, he planned for his future. He was willing to forego the immediate payment of these 15 bottles of olive oil and 20 containers of wheat if it meant that his future would be secured. Now, if we look in the previous chapter in Luke chapter 15, we have the story of the prodigal son. Now, I think we need to read the entire Bible through as it was meant to be read originally. We don't need to chop it up into bits and pieces. But I believe that Luke meant for it to be read as one story, or as multiple stories together, linked together. In the story of the prodigal son, we have the story of a son, the younger son, who required that his father pay him his inheritance immediately, and he went out into the world and squandered it away on what is described as sinful living. But then here we have the complete opposite. We have a man who made some mistakes, but then decides to plan for his future by foregoing immediate payment and living and planning ahead for what's to come. So for the Christian today, I would encourage you to take advantage of some of the things that we have offered to us. We have the opportunity to invest in our future and to set aside money in case of an emergency. We can invest in things such as 401k, Roth IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. We can put aside money in case we need it some other day. But how about those people that are so deeply in debt that they can't afford to get any money towards retirement or in case of an emergency? It's scary to me to think about the people of my generation that have abused credit cards and to think about what's going to happen when it comes into a day when they want to retire, when they get to be 65, 75 years old. Who is going to be responsible? They're going to have to keep on working in order to make a living because they didn't plan ahead. Now, if you look at your bulletins today, there's a little bit of a section at the bottom of the bulletins in the announcement section that says that March 1st we will be having Stewardship University in Waynesboro. Now, I don't mean to make this a time to just give a plug for Stewardship University, but you know what? I think it's a very good idea to go to other people who have more financial knowledge than we do to seek help in planning for our future. Stewardship University will help us to understand how we can save in case of an emergency and how we can save for our futures from a biblical and Christian perspective. Now, if we look at the people in our neighborhoods, in our towns, and we see that they are not perhaps doing as good as they could with their finances, what are we to do? The easy answer would be, you know, give them a little bit of money. Help them out of debt. That would be what is called a technical change. But I'm going to ask you to do something more challenging than that. I'm going to ask you to go forth and try to do an adaptive change. Take care of the problem at its roots. Educate people. Teach them how they should use money, how they should use credit wisely. And the saying is, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for life. Give somebody some money to get out of debt, maybe help them out for the time being. Teach them how to get themselves out of debt and how to save for their future, and you take care of them for a lifetime. Now, I've talked an awful lot here about planning for your future and setting aside money. And I think that's very important to do for each and every one of us. But I would be leading you astray if I was to let you think that that is all this piece of scripture is talking to us about today. If we continue to read into chapter 16, Jesus very clearly says later on that man cannot serve two masters. He cannot serve both God and money. You see, we seem to be somewhere in between. We need to be able to plan for our future without loving money. Jesus tells a story about this man who had this bumper crop one year. He brought in huge amounts of grain. And this man decided, you know what? I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones so I can store all this grain and live off of it for the next however many years it takes. And then Jesus goes on to say that this man was a fool because his life would be demanded of him that evening. Jesus also tells us in his Sermon on the Mount that we are to not store up for ourselves treasures on earth, for moth and rust devour, and where thieves break in and steal, but to store for ourselves instead treasures in heaven. We must plan for our future, but we can't do it at the expense of storing up for ourselves treasures on earth. Now, I can't tell you exactly where that point is, where we cross that line, where we begin to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. But we need to be aware and really think about, honestly think about, what is that level? How much are we honestly going to need for our future? And how much can we use to advance God's kingdom here on earth? What can we be doing with the extra money that we have in life to help God's kingdom here on earth? Now, I can sit up here and tell you, you know what, if you have any extra money that you don't think you're going to need, give it to charity. And I think that's a wonderful idea. Give it away. But, you know, there comes a point where we are uncomfortable giving too much away. But I would give you another option as well. Go out here on Beverly Street and walk up and down those old stores. How many stores have we seen come and go over the last, I don't know, 10 years? These small guys aren't making a good living. These little guys need a little hand as well, need a little help. If we have a little extra money, I would encourage you, rather than going to the cheapest place, to the mega marts, wherever they might be, help somebody else by buying your needs at the local grocery store. Go to the local hardware store when you need to buy a hammer, rather than going to the large hardware store. I won't name any names. The big people won't notice when we leave or when we go somewhere else. They won't notice that you bought a hammer somewhere else. But the little guy sure will appreciate it when we help them out financially. Because by doing so, we can help them plan for their future as well. We can help them think about what is to come, save up for retirement, to save up for an emergency. So I say you don't just have to give away any extra money you have, but spend it wisely. Spend it in a way that will benefit the most other people. Spend it in a way that helps the little guy and the little gal. Now Jesus says today in verse 9, and I'll read it from the NRSV. As I told them earlier, I didn't really agree with what Peterson said in the message. It says, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest," or the NIV says, "of worldly wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes." Use the wealth that we've been given to share with other people, to help the other guy out, or the other woman out. Help those who are in need. We must use our earthly money for others, and in doing so, we can help store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Because as we have seen with Jesus throughout the New Testament, he does care about the quality of our lives here on earth as well. Jesus never promised that we would be rich, that we would be famous, or that we would even have everything that we ever needed. But we can work together in the name of Jesus Christ to help one another out, to have the things that we need, and to plan for our future. So in conclusion this morning, I would like to remind you that planning for our future doesn't mean that we have to build bigger barns to hold all of our earthly wealth. Planning for our future means that we honestly estimate how much we are going to need to live off of and share the rest of our wealth evenly with other people as well. Helping the little guy and little gal out, being for them as Christ would be unto us. Just because Christ blessed us with financial stability doesn't mean we must keep it all to ourselves. Let us share the gift that we have been given. It is good stewardship to help others out. Not necessarily to the point that we neglect ourselves, but we must not neglect others either. Will you please join me in prayer? Our gracious and loving God, this has been a difficult passage. It is confusing. And may this only be one interpretation out of many, Lord, but may they all be faithful to your gospel. May they all be faithful to your desires of humankind. Lord, I just ask that you be with each person here. May they have the financial stability that they need to take care of themselves in case of emergency and to help themselves be able to retire one day comfortably. But Lord, remember that, help us to remember that it's not all about us. Help us not to store up treasures for ourselves here on earth, to seek your kingdom first and your righteousness. And then all these things shall be given unto us as well. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.